thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
It's always great again to come and share the Word of God. Always be mindful that God's Word is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. This Word challenges us. It encourages us. It reminds us of our shortcomings. But it also shares this great message that God so loved the world that He set out a rescue plan for us who were once in a one-way ticket to a Christless eternity. And He sent His Son to stand in the gap, to take the place no one else could take. And tonight, if I was going to give my message a title, it would be One Name, One Way. And that is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm in a very busy part of a working life, and I'm out meeting people on a daily basis. And they think I know everywhere. They think I know where everybody lives and the directions to everywhere. No, but you know. And I'm sure, like you and me, people have come and said, do you know where such and such is? And you go, well, if you know, well, you take that road there, take the second to the left, turn right, and it's the second house on the right-hand side. But you can give that direction if you know. But if you don't know, you're not going to send them to turn right, turn left, and four doors down on the left, because what you've done is you've given the directions to somewhere that he doesn't need to go. In the scripture, Jesus was asked when he was ministering on the earth, directions. And we will be going to John 14. If you want to get your Bibles there, we will be getting there. John chapter 14, we'll be starting at verse 1. But before we got to chapter 14, there was a lot of stuff happened in chapter 13, because the disciples was having a conversation with Jesus, and he says, one day some of you guys is going to betray me. They just couldn't comprehend these words that Jesus had spoken. Peter even went to the stage, he said, Lord, wherever you go, he says, I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus looked at him and said, you're going to deny me three times. Jesus knew what was in front of him. And when we come to chapter 14, he speaks these words over the disciples. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas said unto the Lord, we not know where thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Jesus was trying to calm his disciples because there was a lot happening. They'd seen a lot. But Jesus himself is telling them, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And that's a word for us tonight. Denny touched on it this morning. No matter what you see going on in the world, weapons pointed from one country to the other, other countries threatening other countries to show their power of weaponry, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. And Jesus was telling the disciples, let not your heart be troubled, because what they're going to see is what he knew was going to happen. They were going to take the Son of God and crucify him at Calvary. And he says to them, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's telling them where he's going to when this is all over. And he's telling them, I'm coming back again when this is all over. And church, sometimes it's hard sometimes to think what Jesus was thinking when he was telling the disciples. Here he was, knew what was going to happen, yet Jesus, who he was, comes to comfort and give them peace and to give them understanding when this is all done. But Jesus did say, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God also. Believe in me. But Thomas asked the great question, Lord, we not know where you goest, and how can we know the way? Great question. I'm sure if you're talking to your unsaved friends and your unsaved work colleagues and your Christian life comes up, we have to be lovingly, be able to share the gospel by speaking words of love, but also speaking the word of God. What a question Thomas asked. How do we get there? How can we know the way? And Jesus looks at him and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. To you and me tonight, God's guarantee of love is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And love follows us that we can inherit eternal life. And eternal life does not begin with us trying harder. It begins with God going deeper. This is who God was. It's not about us. It's God going deeper to reach down to a place to touch us and save us from our sin. Every time we have heard the gospel from knee high, and I can recall hearing the gospel when I was Sunday school, primary school, and what God was doing, he was loving me deeper and reminding me from I was a child, I love you. This rescue plan is for you. What I want you to do is embrace it. Trust me. And I've sat in many a gospel meeting with my heart pounding out through my chest because I knew that God was dealing with me. And as a young boy, no decision was made. And it's nice to see the young ones on tonight. Trust God. Thank him for saving you when you're young. What a future you have in Jesus Christ. Amen. For God so loved the world, as where everything starts. You see, God didn't want us to try and fix ourselves, because we couldn't. We couldn't fix ourselves. He sent Jesus while we were still lost. And this is the kind of love that took the first step. Think about this. God saw the mess we were in. What am I going to do about this? And the plan was eternally made. He says, I have to send my Son to come and fix this mess. The last time I spoke, we did speak about the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. They tried to fix the mess they put themselves in. And they got fig leaves and tried to cover their nakedness and hide from God. You can't hide from God. Even in your worst state, when you don't want to know God is about, you can't hide from him. And God came into the garden. And he covered them with animal skins. And to do that, they had to shed blood and clothe them with the skins. You see, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And here we have the picture in the Garden of Eden that one day a lamb covered the sin of one sin in the garden, but there was going to come the Lamb of God who was going to come and shed his blood to make a covering for all the sins of the whole world. And Jesus knew this when he was talking to his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm sure many of you have done a bit of child minding in your time, looked after your children, babysat for other parents. And if you saw danger coming to a child, before the danger come, you would run and save the child from the danger. That's what God done with us, you see. God moved first. He initiated a rescue plan because we couldn't do nothing. We were lost. And he sent Jesus. Not because we deserved it. This is the love of God. He couldn't leave us where we were. He couldn't leave us. You and me inherited the Adamic blood race. Born into sin. And God said to you tonight, I'm not leaving you where you are. I have a rescue plan made out. You can't stay where you are. There's a choice. It's a yes or it's a no to Jesus. That's why when I stand up here, normally I'm sitting down there among you, but I like coming into church to worship God. I like coming in with a prepared spirit. I don't have to, oh, we're going to sing now. I'm singing before we get here. And that is what it is coming into the house of the Lord, to praise and thank God for what he has done for us. That's the start of eternal life because, you see, God gave it to us. God's love invites an eternal response. The decision you made the day you called upon the name of Jesus, you then become saved for all eternity. You keep rejecting the call of God into your life, you are going to be separated from the living God from all eternity. So it's an eternal response when God is speaking into a sinful world. John 3:16 does not stop with God gave. It moves to whosoever believes. That's everybody. It wasn't black, white, you can't do this, or you have to be from China, or you have to be from Romania, Russia. No, whole world. Open door. That is the love of God. Just makes it eternally. And he makes it for every person. Me and you, I'll take you back to the night you called upon the name of Jesus for your salvation. I say it many a time in a prayer meeting. And I pray and I thank God that some person took time to lift my name for my salvation. They prayed that God would save Stephen. They prayed for you at the side of a bed, in a car, in a prayer room, in a church meeting. That night, that you and me come to God. The part was, you see, God put the invitation into you and my hands. He didn't hide it from us. This is a great gift to live forever and ever, no end. So God has offered the invitation. The night that you and me called upon the name of Jesus, the word says this here, except you repent, you shall perish. And the night that you and me come and called upon the name of Jesus, we repented of our sins, and we ask for forgiveness of our sins, and we trust the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. When people ask you, are you saved, or do you just go to church? One of my favorite verses is John 1:12. To as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. You don't walk in your own. I get up in the morning, and I get in and I look at the mirror and go, we're not pretty in the morning, sure we're not. But God said, you see, from the day you get your feet in the floor, I've set angels charge over you. You're no longer walking in the power of Stephen Elder. You are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and the living God. See, once you start to get that into your mindset, life becomes a wee bit easier. Because we're digging at it and trying to do it ourselves. Sometimes we have to put the handbrake on and say, it's 12 o'clock, Lord, and I've made a mess of every one of the hours to 12 o'clock. I've done it. And I say, Lord, forgive me. I'm getting into the back seat now. You take the front seat. You move forward. This is what we have to do sometimes. Have you ever received a gift from some person? Didn't look like much. Wrapped up in a bit of rough paper. And didn't even feel heavy. And Christmas time. I want to open the big one. Open the big box and see what's inside the big box. And the ribbon and all looked good. And you opened it up and wasn't as much as I thought it was going to be. But the tiny gift was never opened. Sat for about 6 months. And the person that gave it was always waiting at the end of the phone to hear the thank you. It's a wonderful gift. Never happened. Then, that's what happens, you and me, when this gift of eternal life has reached to you and the invitation is given out. You still don't take it, you don't grasp it. And you see this unopened gift, the person met up with them face to face. How did the gift go for you? Never even opened it, you know. Well, my advice would be to you to go and open it up. And they went home and opened up the gift. And there it was, a check that would pay all their bills, pay their mortgage, and give them enough money to live on the rest of their life. They never saw the significance of the gift until they opened it. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you see the significance of eternal life through the living God, the Son, his Son. You'll never know how good the gift is till you step forward and embrace it and take it. This gift is for every person. Here tonight to remind you that the gift of eternal life, this gift It's not only life-changing right now, but it's for all eternity. Faith is not a complicated thing. It's saying, I believe. I believe. I was in children's ministry for about 17 years. When we came into Sunday school, we used to get the light switch, and they all, I want to put on the light switch. The room was always dark. We came in, and I always said, right, who put on the light switch last week? They all put up their hands, and it was a fight to see who would put the light on in the room. And I said, before you hit that light switch, do you believe that when you touch that switch that the light's going to come on? Why? That's what faith is. It's believing before you see it. A simple thing that you can instill into a young child's heart. Believe it before you see it. I'm here to tell you tonight, believe it before you receive it. Because you see, Jesus, the Son of the living God, he'll change your life. He'll set you free. We get into some challenging conversations, either at work or there's different things happening. Eternal life, I always say, comes through Jesus. It's not found in religion or in rules or good intentions. Because I have plenty of friends and they have good intentions. Great people, nice people, do you no harm. But Jesus says, I come not to call the righteous. And you have to tell them in love. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's no half door opened up to get in another way. There is only one way. He is not one of many ways that the world would have you believe today. He is the only way. And when someone gives you directions that we were talking about earlier, you trust them. Ah, that boy told me that's the way you go. You knock the door, say, I'm looking for such and such, and they give you directions. You trust them because they said it so confidently that you trust them. See, that's the same with Jesus. Jesus doesn't hand us a map. He becomes the way. He walks with us. Real life, the kind that never ends, flows from him and knowing him. And that's why eternal life is not something we get. It's about someone we meet. That's who Jesus is. He walks with us. And he talks with us. And he tells us we are his own. When we get to the tight pits of conversation with our friends and loved ones, and tonight for a few minutes, I'm going to cover it. One of my favourite verses is Colossians 1:13-14. God delivered us from the power of darkness. And he translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you reject the invitation of Jesus Christ, there's judgment, and it will come to every person in this world. And we're going to read about it for a few minutes. It's in Revelation chapter 20. We're going to read a few verses. Four verses. Revelations chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and small, great, and stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in to the lake of fire. This great white throne. This is the final judgment of God's justice plan for all the human race. In this courtroom in heaven, there is no jury. There's no prosecutor. And there's no defender. There will be a sentence, and there will be no appeal. I'm here to say tonight, this is the place you don't want to be. Any person that gets in front of the great white throne, I'm here to tell you tonight, is unsaved and will be lost for all eternity. There'll be no change in your mind when you see what's in front of you. And we have to sometimes share this with our unsaved friends. This is what's coming if you don't repent of your sins. And while this invitation is out tonight, don't walk out of here tonight without trusting the Son of God. Revelation 20 verse 10 reads this, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire with brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented night and day forever and ever. How long is this for? It's forever and forever. The enemy one day will be cast into the lake of fire. God here at this moment has the right to determine the destiny of what he created. God created the world. He created the human race. Whether you believe it or not, but every person that's standing there that day, God created it all. And who is the person that is on the throne? Well, it's the Son of the living God. He is the one that is on the throne. He is the one that's been appointed judge over all the whole world. John 5 verse 22 reads that this, for the Father judgeth no man, but he hath committed all judgment unto the Son. John 5 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Peter even speaks about it in Acts 10:42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, that Jesus Christ, which was ordained of God to judge of the quick and the dead. Jesus is the judge on the great white throne. Who are these people that the Bible says is at the great white throne? Well, it uses the phrase, the great and the small. It describes those who stand before the throne. It's very interesting. This phrase has been used in the Old Testament about five times and in the book of Revelations. The ones that were great on the earth who've lived here. The rich. Famous. I'm not saying every rich or famous person's unsaved. I know a lot of rich and famous people who are born again believers, praise God. But it's decent people. It's decent people who worked hard all their life, brought up their children, brought up their family. And they're walking on eggshells. There's an eternal to face. And without coming and calling upon the name of Jesus, our friends, our family, is going to stand before this throne. Keep praying for your family. Keep trusting God to deliver them. Because you see, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you and me would be there. This great white throne judgment is the finality when God changes the whole world. There's one thing that all these people have in common that are standing before this throne. They rejected the invitation that God reached out and gave them. There will be no change in their mind when they see the Son of God. There'll be no "I thought about it, but I should have done more about it." It's over. It's over and it's final. And God is saying, it is over. Sometimes we've got to be subtle with the word, honest with the word, and we've got to share it. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you can go out this door tonight and still have not Jesus in your life. I want you to think about this. The very breath in your body and the very heartbeat inside your body is from the living God. He's gave that to you. He can take it away. A click of a finger. He can take it away. It's appointed unto us what? Once to die, and after death, the judgment. Great white throne. It's just not a judgment here for just saying, oh, you were bad. It's not. It's eternal. And the judgment will last for all eternity. If you were trying to poison water and make water into an ingredient of poison to poison some person, it'd only take a wee tiny drop. It'd only take a tiny drop of poison to change the water from drinking water to a poison that would kill some person if they drank it. It only takes one wee tiny sin, unforgiven, to keep you and me out of heaven. Not big sins. There's people out there and they live the perfect life. And we have to be honest tonight. We're in a gospel service tonight. We've got to tell the message. Jesus saves. But he also judges. He also will one day come and be the judge of mankind. If you really want to grasp the list that will be cast into the lake of fire, you'll go to Revelation 21, verse 8, and here's what it reads. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. From I was that height when I could understand and hear people telling me the gospel, this is the one place I never wanted to go to, was hell. I'm sure there nobody wants to go there, wants to be there. But this is the invitation that God has given this sin-cursed world. The rescue plan is still available. Hasn't pulled the blind down on it yet. Still available. That's for every person who comes and calls upon the name of Jesus for their salvation. You could be in here tonight and you're in the crossroads of decision. And I've been there many times before I called upon the name of Jesus for my salvation. Well, I shoulda, coulda. Not tonight. Walked out of services, walked out of Sunday school, and I knew, missed it, blew it again. But I remember the night that you remember your night. And I called upon the name of Jesus for my salvation. Did I see a big light and the whole thing changed in the room? But right, no, it did not. But I knew I'd done one thing by faith, that I trusted Jesus for my salvation. Then he changed my life. Because when Jesus sees that you're obedient and you're willing and you want to serve, you want to go to church, this Jesus, he says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. We're not on our own. Amen. We're not walking this Christian life on our own. We grasped the invitation. That is the love of the living God. He gave it to us. I'm here tonight to say, don't mess it up. Don't miss it. Come and call upon the name of Jesus for your salvation. Be able to say tonight, as well with my soul. I remember when I was young and people said, how are you? Oh, I'm great, but I knew you needed to be saved. So I wasn't good. And I'm telling you out there tonight, we have friends, work colleagues, and you'll say, how are you? Everything's going great, but they know they need to be saved. We need to pray them into the kingdom. We need to trust God, that God will change their lives. He's changed many of a life in this room tonight. You see, our God, this God that I'm telling you about tonight, he's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper, isn't he? Yeah. He punches the light into the darkness. When you think there's nothing there, he changes it. And as the start of the song goes, he's a way maker. He makes the way. But first of all, we've got to ask him to embrace him. I've done it many a day. I've said it earlier, 12 o'clock. Whew, made a mess of them first 4 or 5 hours. Call upon the Savior tonight. This invitation, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, this is what the word says, shall be saved. Doesn't say might be, it said shall be saved. So we're trusting God tonight. Thank you for listening. Trust that God has blessed this word to your hearts tonight. Thank you very much, JT.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.